listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are on the couch on LA Talk Radio. Welcome. This is the place where you can find out the psychological spin on people in the news, and also where you can get help with some of your own problems. And of course, I bring you the latest information from experts who focus on helping you feel better in general. You don't want to miss today's show, folks, because you're going to find out a lot of things about how your mind works. What's buried deep into our subconscious? Is that for real? Well, sure it is. Absolutely. So let me ask you something, folks. Why do we hold on to certain fears? Why do we hold on to addictions and problems? I think this is one of the most common issues that we have as therapists going into our practice. Why do people keep hanging on? Well, we all hang on to things. How can we change our minds to rid ourselves of negative thoughts and bad habits? Well, my special in-studio guest today is going to help you with that. And I want to encourage you guys to call or email me if you're shy and you don't want to get your voice on the radio. If you have a question or a comment, let me give you the number right now. It's 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815, or you can email me, as I always ask you, you shy folks out there, docmichelle@aol.com. Let me tell you a little bit about my guest here. Her name is Ella Begelfour, and I've known her about 12 years now, maybe a little more. She is the real deal. She's a learned licensed marriage and family therapist, been studying for years. She knows her stuff. She's a professional hypnotherapist, and she's gone through all of the criteria to become professional. I mean, some people go, oh, yeah, I do hypnotism. No. She knows it. She's studied it for many years and has helped so many people. She's also fluent in Russian. She's really smart. Really smart lady. Her philosophy focuses on helping people to regain their mental health and recapture peace and attain emotional stability. So let me introduce her right now. Hi, Ella. Nice
Hello.
To have you.
Nice to be here.
Thank you so much for coming in today. This is great.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
We're talking about a lot of things today. We're going to talk about dispelling the myths of hypnotherapy, because everybody has all these false belief systems, and also how hypnotherapy can help people. Mm-hmm. Some of the relationship issues that you help people with, and also Reiki energy healing, which is a science, truly is a science, and you've been a master at that as well. So we're going to dispel a lot of myths today, and we're going to hopefully help everybody out there listening who wants more information about how to get their acts together on basically anything, right?
Right.
So can you just give an overview, Ella, of what is hypnotherapy all about? What is that about?
Hypnotherapy is about focus.
Ah.
You choose to focus on one thing, mm-hmm. and you choose not to focus on other things. So it is, you're entering, when you're in hypnosis, mm-hmm. under hypnosis, mm-hmm.
yeah.
you're entering an altered state. Your brain is working on the relaxed waves, which is theta waves.
Ah, okay.
And you need to be open to it, mm-hmm. and allow the suggestions that a trusted person or hypnotherapist will suggest and accept them.
Okay. So you said theta waves, because I've talked to other hypnotherapists who say, well, we'll get you down into an alpha state. That's like the first level of just sort of before we go to sleep, right?
Right.
And then theta is the next deeper level.
Relaxation.
Ah.
This is the state where you're not judging, you're not mm-hmm. criticizing. A lot of times you go into that state during mm-hmm. the daytime.
Right.
Daydreaming can
right.
be called a theta waves when you're relaxing.
Oh, yeah.
When you're becoming an observer
mm-hmm.
of the world around you. And that's the state that we're talking about.
Interesting. So, you know, on your website, you say that through hypnotherapy, I can find the source of your pain, discover where it started, and how it morphed into what it is today. So, how do you use hypnotherapy to help people out?
Everything is based on our emotions. Mm. A lot of times when we seek help, we're talking about negative emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are fears.
Yeah.
When you're entering the state of hypnosis, when you're relaxed and when you're open, those fears dissipate and you're more open.
Mm.
So what happens is when you're relaxed, you're able to remember better because a lot of times our anxiety causes
right.
our memory loss. We don't
right,
want
right.
to go. We're blocking things. When
yeah.
you're under hypnosis, you're opening up.
Ah.
So it is much easier to access the information and you do not feel the pain
yes.
when you're under hypnosis.
Oh, that's
great. So it is
great.
So much easier to access the issues,
mm-hmm.
to remember things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sometimes just remembering things mm-hmm. will release the pain.
Yes. Wow. And so I guess I would say that in the beta state is consciousness right now.
Right.
I hope we're in beta. I don't know.
You never know.
I'd like
you're
to be an alpha,
on the radio.
But
you might be hypnotized as we speak. In fact,
I'm
you're
ready.
Getting sleepier and sleepier.
In the beta state, so that's our so-called conscious state.
Right.
And we have a lot of, like you said, I mean, we're always worrying, we're thinking, streams of consciousness. You know, we can process so many things. At, you know, this, a what ifs, the what ifs I call. We're always worried about
right.
what if. Or people who need to control things in their life. Oh my gosh, I have to control this. That really interferes with our ability to really heal
mm-hmm.
and get into a deeper, more relaxed state. Is that sort of like meditation? Or
it definitely. Mm-hmm. It's type of meditation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're talking okay. about the same techniques as meditation.
Okay, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of people put too much detail and scary stuff about, I can't meditate, I have to go home or get it, you know.
Yes.
No, it's quite simple if
it
you know the tools.
It is very simple. You can make it as complicated as you want and as simple as you want.
Yes, well that's exactly right. And if you guys want to call in, please do so. 323-203-0815 is the number. And you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, in case you just tuned in. And my special guest, marriage family licensed therapist, Ella Bagelfour. And also, she is a professional hypnotherapist and has been doing it for years. She studied it a lot. She knows a lot about helping people. And also, the Reiki energy work that she does is really interesting too, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. So what are some of the most common problems that people come to, you know, get solved or you can help them with?
Fears and phobias, smoking cessation, weight control in conjunction with diet, and it just simply helps clients to get motivated and helps them with their weight management.
Sure.
Anxiety.
Right.
Anxiety, depression, you name it.
Yeah.
Hypnosis is beautiful for
yes.
everything.
Yes. Can you tell listeners a little bit more about what's going on in that theta state that, besides the relaxation, that helps them get to the subconscious fears
mm-hmm.
and things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is very interesting that you ask that.
Yeah.
Our brain is blind. So whether we look at something
mm-hmm.
or imagine the same
mm-hmm.
thing,
mm-hmm.
our brain does not know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So if the hypnotherapist
mm-hmm.
helps the client mm-hmm. to develop their imagination to the point where they can smell things, touch,
right.
hear, feel, we can fool our brain in believing that it's a reality. Uh-huh. And then when the brain says, okay, I've done that once. Let's say I haven't smoked for the whole day. Before, I smoked a pack a day.
Right.
If I did that in my imagination, and the brain does not know that it was imagination, it believes it was real,
yes.
I can do it again.
Oh, that's lovely.
So it makes it so much easier to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
Hypnosis can help with pain.
Mm.
Because almost 70% of the pain is our emotions.
Mm.
So when we can handle it, when we can control it, the pain goes down.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is related for the more scientific crowd out there. You know, it also pain is related to stress. We're stressed.
Mm-hmm.
Exacerbates nerve endings and causes more pain. So, I mean, that really works with it. And how about other... You know, let's say Axis 1 disorders like depression. Of course, you can manage depression.
Yes.
You can manage almost anything through hypnosis,
indeed,
right?
Indeed, you can.
The one thing that also I was reading about you is that you work with personality disorders.
Yes.
Good for you. You have a lot of patience to work with somebody who's extremely narcissistic. And extremely, let's say, borderline, who's sort of split and always has to cause drama.
Mm-hmm.
How would you work with someone who has to always cause drama and have chaos in their life and can't have social relationships? How does that work?
Basically by helping these people to center, to focus, to build their self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
their confidence, and all of that can be done through the suggestibility while they're relaxed.
Uh-huh.
If in the regular psychotherapeutic session they will tell you,
mm-hmm.
I'm not capable of making this phone call, I cannot do this, I need help, I need assistance,
uh-huh.
well, if they really, truly want to help themselves and
mm-hmm.
they're hypnotized,
mm-hmm.
we can make them believe that they are this confident person that picks up the phone and makes
right.
that call. And by repetition and doing it
right
more than once, they start believing in that.
Yeah.
And then it definitely reflects on
mm-hmm.
their life.
Hmm. Makes sense. How do you know that a hypnotherapist is really right for you?
I would definitely check his credentials.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody
mm-hmm.
can be called a hypnotherapist.
Right.
You can come to me for 1 hour session, and I'm going to give you a certificate that you're a hypnotherapist.
Yes, yes. Basically,
I would make sure that the person who calls himself a hypnotherapist has at least a master's degree in psychology.
Yes.
Knows what he's doing,
mm-hmm.
and is qualified by either American or Southern California Hypnosis Association.
Yes.
They have a website where you can go and...
Yes.
find a therapist,
yes.
a hypnotherapist
yes.
on their website.
And, you know, it is a rigorous course, a year of hard study, I understand. I just took one CE course to, you know, that we have to renew for our license every 2 years.
Yeah.
And he was like you. He'd been doing it for about 20, 25 years, and he'd studied in Los Angeles with the
right.
really big one that you studied with. What is that institute that you studied?
So, it's HMI
right.
and then Southern
right.
California Hypnosis Association. And the
yeah.
school is based on Milton Erickson's
right.
teachings.
Right, which is, you know, empirical evidence that people can change through that. Anyway, I took the course and it was, he said, now this is a taste. I'm just giving you a taste and a brush
yes.
over of how the mind works.
Absolutely.
So.
And another thing
yeah.
I wanted to
yeah.
add, it is very important what you feel when you're in a room with the hypnotherapist.
Yeah.
If all the credentials are great, but you walked in the office and you don't feel comfortable.
Right.
It means that that is not the right person for you.
Right.
So make sure to ask a lot of questions
mm-hmm.
and feel good because
mm-hmm.
it's all about
mm-hmm.
feelings and emotions
mm-hmm.
and they need to be warm and comfortable for you.
Mm-hmm. And you have that vibe about you, which is so neat. You're very welcoming and you're non-judgmental.
You can't be if you're a hypnotherapist.
Well, you know, some are, I think. I don't know. I'm thinking because I wanted to share with you that I had an experience. My husband thought it would be really cool, you know, while I was studying psychology 22 years ago, to get me a session with a psychologist who was a hypnotherapist, and he did past life regression. And I thought, oh, this will be really neat. This will be fun. Now, I'd been hypnotized before. Mm-hmm. When I lived in San Francisco, I was, you know, kind of working on stress management and things. And I love that. Boy, you can get addicted to that theta.
You can.
That theta wave things.
Yes.
It's a nice little buzz.
Oh, yes.
It's a nice little high. But what I found was, as you say, I found I didn't feel good. I mean, I never really talked to this gentleman, and he, you know, bless his heart, he was probably a nice guy, and he had this really big, nice office and everything. But I just, there was something about it that I didn't feel like I could allow myself to just trust I don't know what was going on, but it didn't really happen for me because I was always kept myself in sort of an alpha semi-conscious state to where I was monitoring.
That's a very good example, mm-hmm, Michelle, mm-hmm. And I think our listeners should be aware of that. Mm-hmm. If you feel that, then mm-hmm. you should definitely not come back and look
and
for
I
another
didn't.
Hypnotherapist.
And I didn't. But I thought also that I was forcing glimpses of myself into the past based
yes.
on movies or things that I, you know. Oh, that's what I wanted to ask you, too, and I want to get back to past life regression and things like that. Do people make up things when they're being hypnotized? You know, like sometimes witnesses, when they want to hypnotize someone to see if they really experienced, they can't really remember. You know, so they say, well, we're going to hypnotize you and try to, you know, maybe see if you, and record this session, put you in a courtroom mm-hmm. and see, not, they're not going to hypnotize in a courtroom, but you know what I'm saying, and put the session to see if you recall what the murderer's face looked like.
Absolutely.
You know?
It's a very good question. Hypnosis is not allowed as a witness in a
okay.
court just because of the reason that you've mentioned. The memories can be definitely false memories.
Yes.
And as soon as the client comes in
right.
with the request to remember something mm-hmm. because they believe they were witnesses, mm-hmm. I immediately discourage them from proceeding because you cannot, and I had cases like that.
Yes, have you?
Where mm-hmm. the client would come and say, I was drunk, I passed out, and when I come back to my senses,
yes.
I believe I was raped. And I want to remember who raped me.
Right.
That's definitely not a field for hypnosis.
Right.
We don't do that.
Sure.
So, yes, the question is, you can have false memories, but
right.
Nothing can be done with that. You cannot go to court and say,
right.
yes, I remember now how he looked like.
A lot of, like, lie detectors.
Yes.
You know, they're still, I mean, they're pretty scientifically, you know, empirical.
Yes.
To be true, but people pass lie detector tests.
Absolutely,
so
if they know
not allowed
how it
in
works.
They're not right. allowed in the legal system. So we talked about past regressive hypnotherapy treatments where some people say things like, you just mentioned, I feel like it, but my sister or brother sort of shared feelings too, but I think maybe I was molested, or I had something traumatic happen to me, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. So is this a good way for people to remember things that they pushed way down in their subconscious?
It's not a good thing for them to remember because
yeah.
memory in this case is hurtful, is
right.
painful,
right.
but it is a beautiful way for healing. So
right.
whatever
right.
will come up, whether
okay.
it was false or true, that it might be false, but they feel the pain.
Yes.
Or
yes.
there might be some lapse of time when they don't remember where they were, what was happening to them. And they believe something bad happened. So
right.
what hypnosis helps you do is heal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it.
And that's where you come in, too, with your non-judgment, Ella, which is really lovely.
Yes.
Because, you know, you take that person at face value and just try to, they tell you exactly what they need to work on, and you go through that, you know, no matter what it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I
yeah.
totally trust that the client is there to help him or herself.
Yep.
So I take everything for true value
mm-hmm.
and go with them to their fantasies,
mm-hmm.
to whatever
mm-hmm.
they have to offer
mm-hmm.
and work with that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because the mind's choosing to think that for some reason, right?
Exactly.
There's something going on.
And I mean, who am I to judge and say this is right or this is wrong? If you came up with that, that means it matters to you.
Right. And you're fearing something. And maybe it led to something else, or maybe something else is going on, and this is the way your brain translates it, you know, as abuse and stuff like that. So, you know, that's so interesting. What do you think about also, you know, it's funny because we were talking on the way over here about that movie, The Fourth Kind, remember?
Yes.
With the actress Mila Jovovich.
Yes.
She's cool. She's really cool.
She is.
And they actually had the footage of people under hypnosis that had been done who thought they'd been abducted by aliens. Now, that's a whole other kind of ball of wax there. It's a whole can of worms. But again, people who really strongly believe the possibility of something, you're not going to judge. You're going to bring it.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
It is their experience, and I respect all their experiences.
Yeah.
The idea is to find out why they're there, why they came to see me, and what can I do to help them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you guys would like to call in and ask my special guest, Ella Begelfour, a question. She's a marriage family therapist, licensed, of course, and also she is a licensed, I like to say, hypnotherapist because she's been studying for so long and practicing such a long time. She helps people with all sorts of issues, pain management, depression, smoking cessation, weight loss, all the things maybe that we need to work on, phobias, fears. That's a biggie. You know, how do you work with people who, let's say, have a general phobia, let's say a fear of heights? A friend of mine has a horrendous fear of heights.
It is called desensitization.
Ah.
You create a very safe environment for the client. They have to feel protected and safe in your office. And then you help them go through, let's say, climbing or being on an eighth floor, whatever they're afraid of, or on the bridge, let's say.
Yes.
And in a controlled environment, you help them go through that anxiety so many times that at the end, they're desensitized to it.
Yes.
They don't care if they're on the eighth floor, on the bridge,
right,
or they're flying without a parachute.
Right, exactly. And again, like you said, the mind doesn't know the difference between reality, what you're really doing in a conscious state, and the imaginary feeling that you're actually on that. Yeah.
Right. So the work of the hypnotherapist is use a specific language that will allow the client to create a very rich imagination on what is going on, the feeling, the textures, the what is around you, what kind of bridge it is. Can you touch it? Can you feel it? Can you smell the air? So all of that senses help you create the real world around you, and then you start believing in it.
Yes, and that's lovely.
Thank
you. You know, being able, no, it's a wonderful, and it is empirical. I mean, it's been tested, and that's the way it is. We shove things down, don't we? I mean, the concepts of Freud and Breuer were real. We do shove those things way down.
We do. Absolutely.
Into that, wherever that subconscious part of our mind is.
We block the healing.
Right.
Hypnotherapy is fantastic with cancer patients.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times it showed great success with patients going through chemotherapy.
Yes.
The side effects of chemotherapy is drastically reduced by simply relaxing and using hypnosis and thinking about something beautiful while they're going through the treatment.
That's lovely. And in also with hypnosis, you know, talking about the theory is supposedly the reason why we put a lot of things into our subconscious is because it's called survival. We're growing up in sometimes difficult homes, or we're interpreting the environment in a certain way. We're trying to find out who we are as people in our lives, and we go along our journeys. We go to school, we have issues with, you know, whatever it is, social, we, you know. So we have sort of an identity that we assume as children, and we grow up, but we shove a lot of pain down into that subconscious part of our minds. That's called survival in order to cope. So in the state, the theta state or the hypnotic kind of state. I hate to say trance because it sounds like woo, but it's true. I mean, it is sort of.
Yes.
This is where we're able to bring up some of those buried hidden fears.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the reason why we do that, because we trust the environment. We
yes.
feel safe.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So we're going to feel safe and someone's going to help guide us through, you know, bringing some of those things up.
Sometimes we have a beautiful ability to replay what happened to us with a different ending.
Ah, yes.
So if something horrible happened or something mm-hmm, very mm-hmm. sad happened to you, mm-hmm, you can go back and mm-hmm. fix it mm-hmm. and release the pain mm-hmm. by doing that.
So we can actually train our minds sort of to recreate how we would really prefer the outcome to be.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Let's say that abusive childhood,
right.
if the child was bitten by the parent.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what the children usually do, they disassociate. They basically leave their physical body
yes.
and go into their imagination, into their own
sure.
world.
Sure.
Well, if that happened to the client, mm-hmm. we can invite an adult client
yes.
to visit that particular scene
yes.
and stand right next to the child defending him
yes.
by either grabbing the hand of an abuser and stopping
wow.
and preventing them from doing that, or by simply hugging and producing this comfort for the child by
yeah.
saying, I'm here with you now.
Yes.
I'm taking good care of you, and
mm-hmm.
I promise I'll never leave you.
Mm-hmm.
So that creates the sense of comfort for the child who was abused.
Mm.
And it releases a lot of anxiety.
Wow. We have an email that I pulled up here on docmichelle@AOL.com. That's D-O-C Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. If you would like to write my special guest a question here. If you're shy of going on the air live, that's cool. And it's from Lisa. Shall we take this particular email from her?
Sure.
She says, Ella, I'm a student in a Southern California university, and I'm very stressed out about a lot of classes. I would like to go to a hypnotherapist to learn how to relax and manage my stress, but I'm very afraid that someone is going to take over my mind. And I fear that I'm going to be controlled by this person and make a fool of myself. What would you suggest I do?
I would suggest just what I said earlier. Find somebody that you can trust. And
mm-hmm.
It is practically impossible to have somebody control your mind without your willingness. So the only way that hypnotherapist can help you
yeah.
or
yeah.
can enter you
Yeah,
your
yeah.
mind is with your permission only.
Yeah.
So if you come to me because you're stressed
right.
and your boyfriend tells me, you know what, she also needs to quit smoking. Can you help her without letting her know?
Right.
I would never be able to do that
right.
because you as a client did
yes.
not allow me to work on that.
Right.
It is only with the client's permission. It is very safe. It does
yes.
not have any side effects.
Right.
All you need to do is trust the experience.
Yes.
And it will be a beautiful journey for you.
Mm, that's lovely. So thank you, Lisa, for emailing us. If you want to ask Ella a question, please feel free to email us, docmichelle@AOL.com, D-O-C Michelle with two L's. Or on the air here live, you can call us if you wish, 323-203-0815. We're talking today about hypnosis. We're also going to get in, you know, to some of the relationship issues as a licensed marriage family therapist, which Ella is also, and Reiki therapy, which is really a cool study, and it's been around for years. So, you know, feel free to give us a call if you'd like to have, you know, anything answered, and we're totally open. So let's talk about some of the other things you do in your practice. You're a licensed, as we call it, MFT. So you work with families, you work with relationships, just about anybody, because you are a trained therapy expert. I always say that MFTs have more training with families in the social aspect of relationships than many psychologists, because they don't get that extensive focus,
right,
you know,
right.
with the family.
I,
so
yeah.
I refer people sometimes to specific MFTs, you
right.
know, who really work with that. What are some of the most common relationship issues that you have to deal with?
Well, we should always start with the relationship with ourselves.
Ah.
A lot of times I get a call from potential clients asking me, well, if I have issues by, you know, my own issues. Would you be able to help me?
Right.
And I always say, of course I can, because it is always starting with yourself,
yes.
how you treat yourself,
yes.
and what is going on inside of you. Because
or
if you don't
good?
Know who you are, how can you build a relationship with another human being?
That is so true.
And to answer your question, what is the most common issue in relationship is communication. We all talk on a different levels,
yes.
and it is so difficult.
Yes.
A lot of times we assume
yes.
that the spouse understands what we mean, but
right.
We have to be so much clearer in the way we communicate.
Yes.
Make it simple.
Yes.
Say exactly what you believe, what you want, instead of implying or using inferences.
Yes, and that is so important too. And you know, we all sometimes don't realize that we come to a relationship, and number one, you know, with who we think we are. So if we have a lot of insecurities and assume that other people know those things
we
about
project
us,
them.
They're going to find out about who we think we are,
yes.
you know, or who we
They'll
really
sure
are.
Run away.
Exactly.
So we start hiding things.
Right.
And the spouse does the same, or the
right.
partner does the same thing.
Sure.
And we end up drifting apart.
Exactly. So, and we do, we project. And that means, explain to the audience what projection is.
Whatever we are afraid of,
right.
we manifest.
Right.
So if I hate when people scream at me,
yes.
I usually will be screaming.
Yes.
When I'm frustrated.
There you go. Exactly.
So, and right. usually what we hate in our partners,
right.
we either know we have in
yep.
a little portion.
Exactly.
Or we refuse to admit that we have it.
Exactly.
So we're given the lesson, the
right.
life lesson to learn.
Exactly.
Manage that in your
yeah.
partner, and then the communication will improve and the relationship will become much better.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. And along with, you know, trying to, it's hard to love that which we are, but it's really important to try to like who we are and
Absolutely.
And get to being okay.
This
and,
is the
and
first
humble,
ingredient.
Humble with, yes, I screw up. Yes, I have goofy thoughts. Yes, I say the wrong things. Yes, I trip in public. Yes, yes, I have fear. You know, I think humility is so important for
it
a
is.
Lot of people to
it
have.
And then a lot
humor.
Of times mm-hmm. we mix love with different feelings. Love has nothing to do with my actions.
Yes.
Love is something that is I.
Mm.
I am love.
Yes.
Everything else is an external things that, you know, my actions, my behavior.
Yes.
But we need to understand that we're all beautiful human beings.
Yes.
And
yes.
if we do something, if we do something negative,
yes.
or if we're hurting others, we do it out of our fears.
Yes, I agree with you.
So just jump from the
yeah.
fear to love, and
yes.
you will be okay.
Yeah. Oh, and that's, you know, working through those defense mechanisms. I mean, basically, you know, fear is a big defense mechanism.
It's huge.
Don't want to get hurt again because of past experience where we recall being hurt. And also, too, it's interesting sometimes, you know, projecting is if we're believing something, a fear or, you know, about ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and we're thinking something, we're suspicious about other people. We're going to think that they're suspicious about us. Or if we don't
Absolutely.
Trust people, we're going to think that they don't trust us. So it's all sort of
totally.
Projection hand in hand.
So if you're in a
yeah.
relationship with a partner and you're afraid that he's going to leave you because
yeah.
your ex-boyfriend left you.
Right, right.
You, without realizing it, you will make him leave you.
Yes.
You will simply do something, or you keep asking him, are you planning to leave me?
Yes.
Are you? Do you think about leaving me? You will definitely cause the breakage in a relationship.
Yes. And don't you think that people who have a lot of low self-esteem, I mean, they'll feel that about themselves, and they'll think everybody else knows that they have
oh,
low
yes.
self-esteem.
It's written all over them.
But people don't have a clue sometimes because everyone else has their own low self-esteem or their own fear. You know, we're all these little entities, these little lights walking around with all of our own fears. And we really can't know or assume what other people are thinking, like you said earlier, until we communicate better and
Absolutely.
Check it out.
Yeah, so if you are not sure what was the message, just say, what do you mean?
Right.
Or I'm not clear what you just said.
Exactly.
And it would be so much easier to know exactly what's going on.
Right. And, you know, that takes trust and it takes a little vulnerability with that person. And hopefully if you're in a relationship, you will have learned, you know, to trust and be okay about asking. But you've probably seen this too. One of the most common things that I see is that people play games when they talk. There's accusatory statements. Well, you're mean because, no, you've done this. You know, they go back in the past. And also, you know, there's passive aggressiveness.
We'll be so much better off when every time we communicate, we'll start our statements but with the I feel.
There you go.
Just talk about yourself and what that particular communication or incident did to you.
Yes, yes. Or I see that. I feel. I see that you get angry when we bring up this issue. is that true or am I mistaken?
Exactly.
Are you angry? And if you are, I'd love to know what it's about.
You're going to avoid so many arguments when you're going to use I statement.
Yeah.
Because when you use I statement, it means this is my opinion. What is yours?
Exactly.
So where would be, there would be no place for an argument.
Exactly. It makes so much sense instead of you statements. And also what I see a lot of is our command statements, as I call them. And it's do this. Or go here, or call this person, or pick up this, or get me this. And it's, woo!
Instead, you know, it will make me so happy.
There you go.
If you will do that.
Right. I love it. How do you feel about that? And I, look, you know, a lot of us women, we're a lot more, how do you feel? We're a lot more touchy-feely. But here's the secret, guys. If you listen a little bit more, and you use your I statements, and not your yous, and open up a little more, I'll tell you what, you're going to have a great relationship. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Something else I see, too, is sarcasm.
Oh,
or,
yeah.
You should know. Well, why are you mad at me? Well, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. What? What am I, psychic? That really bothers
Absolutely.
Me, too.
Absolutely.
There's some people who just, you know, it's game playing and it's passive aggressiveness.
We have to be kind to each other.
Yes, no matter how angry, no matter how many buttons someone's pushing in you, based on old past fears, or, you know, they know how to push your buttons. Yes, especially when we've been with someone a long time.
And another extremely important thing is never have a serious conversation when the emotions are flying high. Mm. And it doesn't matter what kind of emotions, whether it's anger, sadness, or even excitement.
Yes.
You need to handle the emotions first. So if you're talking to the partner who is crying, take care of that partner. Make them feel warm and comfortable.
Right.
Tell them that you love them.
Right.
Give them a hug and totally focus on the emotion.
Yes.
And same with anger. If you see a person screaming and yelling at you, this is not the time to tell him that he's wrong because he's deaf.
Right.
All he wants to you to know that he's angry. Mm-hmm. So state that.
Yes.
I can see that you're angry. And when you'll calm down, we'll talk.
Exactly.
That will be so much better.
Boy, will it ever. And, if, you know, I guess we wouldn't be in so much
business,
would we? So there's your crash course, everybody. Write down these things and your relationships will be a lot better. And do get space sometimes from that person if you're way over emotional and you feel you might say something hurtful or harmful.
Absolutely.
Or, you know.
And another thing, never walk out on a partner.
Yeah.
They feel abandoned.
Yes.
They feel not important.
Yes.
If you are planning to walk away, you have to warn.
Yes.
You're
going to
say, if you're not going to stop this behavior, I will walk away.
That's right.
But don't do it without any warnings.
Right. That's so true. And, you know, I need this space because your energy is so heavy and
you're
so angry. There's nothing I can do for you right now, and I'd like to help you, but you're angry with me or you're angry at the world or projecting. It's all good. But, you know, it's... Just, I'm going to have to go now for a walk to cool off because I'm going to say something that I don't want to say to
you. And when I'll come back, we can talk about it.
Count to 20.
So don't leave anybody hanging in the air because they immediately take it as you've abandoned them in a difficult situation.
Yeah.
And
it's
that's
so
not
true.
A cool feeling to have.
No, it's really not. Let's talk about Reiki therapy, and you're a practitioner of that. You've been doing that really a long time. I know you have workshops as well.
Yes,
right?
We do. And actually, we're going to have a Master Reiki workshop coming in September on 15th and 16th.
Oh, super.
But that's for the people who already went through Reiki 1 and Reiki 2. So,
what is it? What is Reiki therapy?
Reiki is... Reiki, the word Reiki consists of two words. Rei, which is universal wisdom, and Ki, that is life energy. Basically, if you are a Reiki practitioner, you are a channeler of energy. And love, energy and love that helps people heal. So it's a beautiful process. It came to us from Dr. Usui, who was original, who was the person who introduced us to Reiki. And it is a very powerful alternative medicine. You know, you can call it alternative medicine. It's a healing tool.
You know, it's also, it's a lot like the Korean or Chinese Qigong. Or Qigong.
It's all about,
some people.
Absolutely, Qi is an energy.
So, and also much like... I'm trying to think of some, the acupressure systems, acupuncture indeed, that's changing energy throughout the body, which has been used as Chinese medicine for hundreds of years.
I mean, so, and we're also different, and we do feel energy in a different way. Sometimes you feel it as a tingling sensation or a warm sensation, or you can feel that there is something crawling all over you. There are a lot of different ways the way the energy manifests itself. As long as you're open, anybody can become a Reiki practitioner. And there are usually three levels. There is Reiki 1 level. And when you attend that level, you learn about energy, how to feel it, how to be in touch with it. We're all healers. We just need to allow and recognize that in ourselves. Reiki 2 will introduce you to Reiki symbols that basically enhance that energy, make it stronger. And if you decide that you like it so much and enjoy practicing it, in a year or so, you can go for the Reiki Master Program and become Master Teacher.
And you are.
Yes.
How do you keep from separating yourself? You have to get into like a meditative state and really surround yourself with...
You surround yourself with protective light. You make sure that you are cleansed. You leave all your thoughts, all your issues outside the office when you enter that state. And basically you start by centering and focusing and making yourself empty. Because you need to be a source of that energy.
Boy, is that
channeling.
True. Yes.
You take the energy from the universe, which is there in abundance, and you help and transport it to the client.
You tune in, actually,
you
to that positive energy. And I would think becoming a master would be very difficult, because you do. You have to learn how to sort through your own and just get rid of everything going on in your
conscious
mind.
You have to be very intuitive.
Yes, intuitive. And just give up all the negativity thoughts and just tune into that focus of helping that person.
Yes, and you need to have all your chakras or energy fields that you have on your body. All of them need to be open and vibrant and alive.
It, does that also involve guided imagery in the Reiki work as well? Do you talk to the individual while you're working with them?
Or? Guided imagery, no, usually you're quiet. Sometimes we like to put some music, relaxing music, but you are allowing the client to travel wherever she or he need to go. Guided imagery is wonderful, and it's part of the hypnosis that I use. Guided imagery is incredible with cancer patients, because when you help them see the immune system, the killer cells, killing the cancer cells, you use client's imagination and you create the script based on that, and then you feed the client whatever they believe, how they believe they're going to get cured or healed, and you use that as a guided imagery.
You know, last week I interviewed Dr. Kevin Jones. He's a cancer surgeon, and he's the author of the book, What Doctors Cannot Tell You.
Oh.
He's kind of controversial because a lot of people, you know, doctors, medical doctors primarily, there's a lot of things that are a little touchy that they don't want the public to know because they really do have to sort of come off like the experts or gods or this kind of thing. It's not a negative book. It's practical in that he says, here's things we really sort of legally, ethically can't say, I'm going to heal you. You're going to, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But I ask him, as a very hardcore medical doctor, what he feels about the relationship of the mind and the body. And he fell apart. He said, oh, God. He said, you know, there is not enough research because medical school focuses on the physiological aspects, curing cells, rebuilding mind, you know, chemicals, all that protein, everything, our bodily functions and how
right.
it works. What is health? You know, what's going to be a healthy lab? What, you know, how do we? And I said, you know, what do you think is the relationship between certain severe illnesses such as cancer that
right.
are curable now and the mind? And he said, oh, I can't tell you, but I know there's such a connection between the two. And I wish we had more studies.
Yeah.
You know, but I guess there are a lot of studies
out there.
There yeah.
are. And we also know that we're using only up to 10% of our brain.
Oh, boy.
So where's yes. the rest of it? What is going on there?
What is going
we
on?
We still have plenty of opportunities.
Yes, we do. Now, I just thought of something. In hypnosis, do you suppose it would be possible to allow ourselves to open up other parts of our brains to say, you know, I'm going to sort of activate and allow, you know, some of the answers to my questions? And the reason why I ask that is because, you know, Einstein, right? He had those hypnagogic, is that what it's called? Or the alpha theta state naps,
yes.
where he would do that for 20 minutes to half an hour. And then he was thinking about a problem and he would come out with the answer because he had that mind state
right.
of, I'm going to allow myself to get in touch with that, just allowing. And when I wake up, and he would have the answer to many of his theories.
I totally believe
yeah.
in that because we are incredible in this way.
Yeah.
Whatever our beliefs are, we can do.
Yes.
So if you believe
yes.
that you
yes.
can open your mind, you will.
Yes.
And that's the power of hypnosis.
Yes. That, and on the same level, I'm thinking about negative beliefs. If we fear things all the time and we just know that there's going to be a bad outcome with something, or we fear we're going to get sick.
We hypnotize ourselves
yes.
into negative beliefs. And we definitely
right.
preach
yeah.
what will happen to us.
Yeah.
So you'd better stop and change it to the positive.
Exactly. And people say, and I know they say to you, to me, when they come to me as well, they say, oh, I just can't stop thinking. It's just the way I've always been. I can't stop these thoughts from coming into my mm-hmm. mind all the time. How, when I've been so conditioned to always worry about things because mm-hmm. of whatever, my upbringing, I've had a lot of fears and growing, and, you know, I've always been the responsible one, so I'm always on alert, you know, fight or flight. How can I get these, you know, repetitive thought patterns out of my mind to change to just change my thinking? And it's a lot of it is through
absolutely.
Hypnosis.
Absolutely. And basically you start yeah. by saying, what about now? Can you stop
yeah.
them now while you're talking to me? Well, yes, only for a minute.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you can do it for a minute, do you think you can do it for 2 minutes?
Aha. Uh-huh.
Well, maybe if I'll try hard enough. And then you go, you just need to start.
Exactly.
And
little
then
by little. Uh-huh.
If you can do it a little bit, you can do it a little better, and you can enhance it
mm-hmm.
and improve it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what hypnosis is all about.
Yes.
It allows that possibility to become true.
Yes. And people should not be scared. I mean, I know people, a lot
it's
of people
the most
say,
beautiful experience.
Oh, cool. I hear people say, I'm scared of what I'm going to come up with.
I'm
afraid of the demons that I'm going to bring forth in my, you know, mind. And you if in that movie, which, you know, it was a movie, folks, but in that movie, The Fourth Kind, about people who supposedly were abducted, and the videos in that movie of people who were going through, who were truly hypnotized and going through a horrible, excited, fearful experience, they're flailing their arms, and you as a hypnotherapist professionally trained would calm someone down, because that, you know, that would be another responsibility.
Totally. We're constantly watching our clients while they're under hypnosis.
Right.
And if we notice that they're hyperventilating or if something is happening, we immediately respond to that. And usually client, because if they're really hypnotized, they are so in tune with themselves.
Yes.
We usually create some kind of a signal if the anxiety is going up, which it almost never does. They do give me a signal, and we work on that and reduce it immediately. And another thing that everybody needs to know, that our subconscious is very intelligent. And if there is an area of your mind that is too fearful, the subconscious blocks it until you're ready to face it.
Yes.
So nobody needs to be afraid of going somewhere where it's very scary. If it is too scary, if it is something that your mind cannot handle, that subconscious will not let you go in there.
So be it. We'll leave it there in the subconscious. If it's choosing to hang down in there, there's no real need to bring this thing into consciousness. Because
unless you're ready. And then it will come up. And that will come up so easily and comfortably that you will not even notice that it came up.
Well, that's neat. And that's where the healing begins.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
This hour, almost hour, has gone way too fast. It's about that time.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you so much for being a great guest.
It was my pleasure.
I've got to have you on more often. Would you come on more often?
I sure will.
Oh, that'd be great. Again, my guest today, Ella Bagelfour. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist, professional hypnotherapist. She's been doing it for years. And also, she is a Reiki master, which is a wonderful accomplishment as well. Fluent in Russian, too. I'm very impressed. Intelligent lady. How can people get in touch with you?
They can write an email to me. They can call me. My phone number is 818-207-1191. My email is schoolofsoul@earthlink.net.
Great.
And I'll be happy to hear from them.
Super. And I'm going to also put your website up on the rerun of this show, which will begin tomorrow late afternoon. If you missed some of the show today, folks, and you want to hear it again, download it, replay, whatever, we're here for you. We've got it all ready for you. Thank you so much, Ella. As always, a pleasure.
Thank you.
Lovely
it was
person.
A pleasure being here.
All right, everybody. Take good care out there. I hope you know, some of your problems were solved. We gave gentlemen the secrets to the universe of maintaining a healthy relationship. If you missed those, then check out the replay tomorrow right here on LA Talk Radio. This is Dr. Michelle, and you can stay on the couch if you like. More great shows coming up along with CBS News. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first. Then you'll be really great for other people, and that's the way it works. Have a lovely day. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.